Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to Infertile AF, the podcast. This is episode 341. Called Katie Cataneo. Okay, friends, before we get started, you know how much I love telling family building stories in all of their beautiful, messy, magical forms. Well, I have taken those stories from the mic to the page with my two children's books, Work of Art and Beautiful Bird. Work of Art is my family story, and it's a heartwarming story that helps explain IVF to kids, whether they were conceived through it themselves or they have friends or siblings who were. And Beautiful Bird tells the story of three parents, one incredible boy, and how love and a little bit of science can create the most beautiful family. My goal has always been to normalize the conversation around family building through assisted reproductive technology, and these two books are a perfect way to do that, whether they're for yourself or a gift for somebody, or if you want to get a copy and donate it to your local school or library. You can grab both the books at infertileafgroup.com, and if you order the duo, you get a special bundle discount. Again, that's infertileafgroup.com, because every family story deserves to be told and celebrated. I also want to remind you to join Fertility Rally. Check us out if you're looking for a safe place to land. We are the worst club with the best members. We have support groups, IRL events, virtual events. We have our big IRL event in Nashville next month. We have Fertility Rally Live number 10 coming up in October. So lots going on. 4+ support groups virtually every week. So if you have any questions or you want more info, please DM me at Fertility Rally or my Instagram for Infertile AF Stories, which is at Infertile AF Stories. All right, so let's get to it. Today, I am talking to the amazing Katie Cataneo, who is a Los Angeles-based real estate agent, influencer, and visual tastemaker with a passion for luxury living and design. You guys might know Katie from Instagram or TikTok, where she has thousands and thousands and thousands of followers, and where she shares about navigating IVF and also the emotional process of rebuilding her home and being displaced after the devastating Palisades wildfires. So we're going to get into all of that today, including where Katie is now in her family building journey. Without further ado, this is Katie's infertility story. Hi, Katie. How are you? It's so good to meet you.
Hi, Allie. I'm good. So happy to be here and so nice to meet you.
Thank you so much for doing this. I always like to start with the question, have you always wanted to have kids?
Yes, I have. Growing up, I played with dolls. I was obsessed with babies. And actually, my parents, they were going to be done after two kids. I was the youngest at the time, and there was a little oopsie, and they had another baby like 4 years after me. So that was like, I was so excited. My little sister was like my everything.
It's like a real life doll that you get to play with and dress up.
My doll strollers.
Totally. So what did you learn growing up about your own body and sex education and fertility?
Yeah, I mean, I was always afraid of sex. It wasn't something my parents talked about a lot. Like they had the birds and the bees conversation, but it was like, don't have sex, you'll get pregnant. And so I always thought like, oh my God, it's so easy. Anytime I have sex, I could get pregnant. Like I was so afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, when you get into trying, it's like,
right,
a 3 to 5 day window you can get pregnant. Like I didn't know that.
I know. I didn't either. I really didn't until until it was too late and I was in the middle of my like infertility stuff. So let's fast forward a whole bunch. Tell me what happened when you decided that you wanted to start to try and like what happened for you guys.
So we started to try. It was last year. And I mean, we were always like, I was on the pill. And then I went off the pill like a few years after we got married. We weren't like super careful. But then there was a point last year in January, I was like, okay, we're going to start trying. And I can be very type A at times. So I was like timing it exactly. I was using Anito with those test strips you pee on every morning. And I was kind of crazy with my husband about timing things. And that got tricky because he's like, what the heck? Sex is supposed to be fun.
Totally. It takes all the sexiness out of it, right? When you have like this end goal.
Yes. So we tried for, 10 months before I started to see a fertility acupuncturist. My friend is like, you have to see this woman. Her name's Danica Thornberry.
I love Danica. I was just emailing with her the other day.
Oh my God. She is an angel. Oh
yeah.
So I had seen my doctor and my gyno because I wasn't getting pregnant, and I brought it up and they were like, oh, you know, just keep trying. You're probably fine. In the back of my mind, I was thinking, you know, there's something wrong. This is because I'm being very concise with it.
Right.
And she was very sweet about it. I always thought you had to wait a full year before you saw a fertility doctor, which I don't know what, is that like an insurance? Who made that rule?
Yeah, it's like a rule that's just been in place, but I've talked to so many people over the years that are just like, we didn't do that. Or we said we'd been trying for a year. You know, how do they know?
Yeah.
Just to get in sooner. But I think we should do away with that rule. You go in whenever you need to. And you know, if you need a second opinion or a first opinion, go for it.
Totally. So I saw Danica. And she, I was like, I've been trying for 10 months. And she was like, well, you know, maybe you should just go see a fertility specialist. So she connected me with Dr. Vermesh in LA, who I love. He's a reproductive endocrinologist. And I saw him and he sat me down and he was like, well, you don't have like painful periods. Like I'm always pretty regular. He's like, you're probably fine, but like, let's just do, he was like, maybe we can do a trigger shot for you. Since I was like on day 14 of my cycle when I saw him, which was perfect timing because he did a vaginal ultrasound. And in it, he was like, oh, wait a sec. I see something on the screen. There was like a big, it almost looked like a follicle, I think.
Okay.
One. And he was like, this could be a hydrosalpinx. So you need to have an HSG test where they shoot dye up your uterus. Doesn't go through all the way through your fallopian tube. That means it's a hydrosalpinx.
How do you explain that to people who wouldn't know? You can probably explain it better than me. Like, what is that exactly?
So it's basically a fluid-filled sac that's on your fallopian tube that essentially leaks toxic fluid into your uterus and kills any embryos that are trying to be made. So it prevents you from getting pregnant. So I did the HSG test and it showed I had hydrosalpinx. And so then it was like, Dr. Vermesh was like, okay, November, we're going to do an egg retrieval so that we get eggs out before the surgery, I think in case anything went wrong with it. And then he was like, December, you're going to do the surgery. And then January, we can do a transfer. So I was like, awesome. Like, boom, boom, boom. It's fast.
Right. You've got a plan. It sounds pretty straight, you know, cut and dry, right? Pretty straightforward.
Yeah. But then, which is something I feel like people need to talk about more is like timelines and how it's never, I mean, most of the time, it's never that simple.
Right. Exactly. You know, there's always some sort of setback or pivot or fork in the road or, you know, something happens. Yep.
Yeah.
It's very common.
Yes. So we did the first retrieval in November and it went pretty well. Like I was prepared for it to be so awful and my hormones to be crazy and like I wasn't going to be able to like do anything. And that wasn't the case. It went pretty well. And we did the retrieval and I think I got 18 follicles or eggs.
Eggs, yeah.
And then 15 were mature. I loved hearing all the numbers when I was going through it, like all the data and like the grading. And
yes. It is wild though, that like attrition rate, right? After you do the retrieval and how it just goes down and down and down. Yeah.
And waiting for the phone call, like every 2 days, like how many made it? So I got 15 mature, I think 11 fertilized, and then 9 made it to blast. And then three came back PGT normal, genetically normal. And there was one that was inconclusive.
Okay.
And so I was like, great. Like I got four that, like, I want at least two kids. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But then my doctor was like, well, the grading on two of them aren't great. So if you want at least two kids, I would do another retrieval surgery.
Okay.
Which was a bummer.
Like, yeah.
That was such a letdown that I had.
Again, speaking about the timeline changing, right? It's like, okay, so now we have to do that.
Yes. So then the surgery was a little bit scary because going into it, they were like, you have to sign off that you're okay with them taking both your fallopian tubes just in case they get in there. Maybe they have
mm-hmm.
to. I didn't realize that until the.
Yeah.
Which was so scary. But what can you do?
Right. It's not like you're not going to sign that, right?
Yeah. And Danica is always like telling me, you just have to surrender. So like, okay, I'll surrender fallopian tubes.
Take uh-huh. them.
And it was funny because in the hospital, the nurse was like, why are you doing this? Which I was kind of taken aback because it was almost like she was implying I was doing this to like be infertile. So like I didn't want kids.
What?
Yeah. Because I mean, that's... it was weird. Yeah. I was like, I'm actually doing this to have kids.
Right. Exactly. Ding dong.
Yeah. So when I woke up, they only had to clamp one tube, which
okay.
cool. That's
that great. Must have been a relief.
Yeah. It wasn't.
Yeah.
So that went well. The recovery wasn't hard. And then my next cycle, I could do another retrieval, which was January 7th. The day of the Palisades fire, which was so crazy because I post a lot about my fertility journey on TikTok. So
right.
I was actually filming a day in the life that morning.
Uh-huh.
And it was so weird looking back because in the video, it's really early in the morning, but the wind was just insane. And I kept seeing it in the video, like, oh my God, these winds are crazy.
Did you have any idea that the fires were to come? Or like, what did you know, like at the time, what were you told?
Everyone in LA knew about these winds that were coming.
Okay, right.
For like a week or two in advance. Like it was just these crazy winds are coming, but it wasn't ever like, oh, if there's a fire, be careful. It was just like crazy winds.
Okay.
Yeah. So we get home and my husband has to leave because he has to go check on a job. He's a contractor. So we've done this before. He gets me all set up with, you know, my food.
So you did the retrieval. You did go through with it that day?
We did the retrieval.
Okay.
It went well. I got 20 eggs, which I
okay.
was amazing. Yay.
Uh-huh.
We drove home. It was probably 10 a.m. by the time he had dropped me off at home with all my yummy snacks. He got me all set up.
Mm-hmm.
We left, and of course I went to sleep because you had just been under anesthesia. And then my husband kept calling me. This was probably like 10:30. And I was like ignoring his calls at first because I was like, I'm sleeping. What do you want from me?
I'm right.
Best nap of my life. Go away. And I finally answer and I'm like, what? And he's like, Katie, I don't want you to freak out, but there's a big fire. Our next door neighbor had called Eric. He was like, this fire is really crazy. Like, it's on Temescal, which is the street right next to us.
Mm-hmm.
So Eric was like, you need to like get up and evacuate, like get the cat and get out.
Mm-hmm.
So I woke up. And of course, after an egg retrieval, you're not supposed to lift more than 10 pounds.
Right. And you just want to be like horizontal for the rest of the day.
Yes. And not driving, obviously.
Yeah.
And the only thing I was thinking about grabbing was my Air One snacks that Eric had just bought me because, you know, they're so expensive.
Air One. Yes, of course. Did you have the Hailey Bieber smoothie?
No, I've had that before and it's so good.
It is good.
yeah. But I was just grateful. I was able to wrangle my cat I grabbed my work bag.
Yeah. What else do you grab in that circumstance? I mean, you're probably thinking you're going to come back, right? Like this isn't like a permanent evacuation, but what are the things that you take in that moment?
I took my work bag, my laptop, and my cat.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I was like, we lived in the flats of the Palisades. So there was no way our house would burn down. Like it's the houses in the hills that always go.
Mm, okay. So
none of our neighbors, no one took anything really except like some people took an overnight bag or whatever. I didn't even take that because I was obviously out of it and not.
Yeah.
House would burn.
Are you communicating with your neighbors too? Like, what are you doing? Are you leaving? You have like a text group, like, yeah.
Yep. It was weird because there was no like notification from the city to evacuate. It was all of us talking to each other like, wow, okay, it's bad. Like, we got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like my neighbor next door, they all have kids. And so, you know, they got their kids, their dog, and like a laptop for
right.
Work. No one.
And where do you go? What's the plan?
So I went to Chick-fil-A because I was hungry. I was like in the drive-thru, still like filming a little bit of my day in the life. I'm like, guys, there's this crazy fire. Like I have to go.
Yeah.
So annoying. And then I went to a park in Santa Monica to kind of just like relax.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, I need to be on a couch, like horizontal. So
yeah,
my parents' house in Santa Barbara with my cat. I'm literally like at the park in Santa Monica. I was walking around in my pajamas, like braless. Like
right.
I didn't own a bra for a few weeks.
Early. Yes. Oh my God.
But yeah, I got home to my parents and turned on the news and it was crazy. Our Ring camera was the only camera that could see what was going on with our neighbors.
Oh my God. That must have been so scary and like traumatizing.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Totally. It was the worst part was my neighbors were checking in with Eric, my husband, like, is my house okay? And our neighbor across the street from us called him and he was like, is my house okay? And Eric's like, let me check the Ring camera. And on the phone, he was like, oh my God, man, I'm so sorry. Like, it looks like your house is on fire. And then we kept watching the Ring camera and finally saw like our front yard catch on fire. We saw our backyard catch on fire and then the Ring cameras just went out.
Oh.
And then we turned the news on and the reporters were on our street and it was like just watching everything burn. It was awful. Especially,
yeah. What does it feel like in that moment?
There was a lot of shock. Like I felt like it took a few days to sink in, like the magnitude of it all. And just the fact that it took out our entire town made it all even more traumatic. There's so many silver linings for us because we bought a house that was essentially a teardown that we fixed up to live in a little bit. And then we were planning to rebuild. It wasn't like that was our forever home. And we had just moved in probably a year before.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we don't have kids yet. Like I can't imagine going through this with kids and like mm-hmm. the school's burning and just, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your social media presence and TikTok with not only the infertility stuff, but like the fire too. Like, why does it feel important to you to share all of that?
So it's so funny because there's so many correlations with like how I shared about the IVF stuff on TikTok and now Instagram and the fire stuff because no one knows what it feels like to go through IVF unless they've been through it. And like, so having the connections with these random strangers who are now all my friends on social media is mm-hmm. like instant bond. Like there's just something so powerful in having a connection with someone who's also been through IVF.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. And then the fire thing, it's like no one understands what I'm going through on a deep level unless they've also been through it, the fire, losing their home and the trauma.
Right.
So it's like I'm making all these friendships with people who've been through the fire trauma.
Yeah, it's like a trauma bond.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for real.
It's scary being vulnerable online. And I felt like sharing was important because not only would it help me to connect with people, but like if it could help one person through their journey, it was worth it to me.
Like you said, that bond, that instant bond, it's like I look at our fertility rally group sometimes. I host it every Wednesday night. And, you know, it's just this random mix of people from all over the country, sometimes the world, different parts of the world. But it's like the common thread is infertility or family building through ART. And it's like, what other world would we have this exact group of people in the same space? Never. But like, that's the common bond. And it's just, it's been cool to meet so many different people from so many different walks of life. You know, I hate that anybody's going through this, but it does feel good to have a community to lean on, like you said.
It's the worst club to be in, but also best.
Yeah, worst club, best members. That's our tagline.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, totally, totally. Well, I think that, you know, people really appreciate your honesty and how you're unfiltered and all that. So tell me a little bit more about, you know, just the days and the months after the fire. Like what did you do? How did you cope? How did you navigate? And where are things now? Mm-hmm.
So what's crazy is like, I felt like the trauma of IVF was heavy. And then the fire happened. And I was like, wait, let me rewind. Like, let me go back to that trauma. Because this, oh my God, having that too was insane.
Yes.
The first few months, it was weird. It was almost like we were running on adrenaline and cortisol. And it was just like, you just kept going because there was nothing else. Like, why sit around and think about it? There's nothing we can do at this point. So that was interesting. I didn't sleep much. Mm-hmm. I mean, my sleep is still pretty messed up. Yeah, just not having a home.
Right.
Weirdest feeling, because obviously my parents' house, it's amazing and we feel so welcome and it's a home, but just not having your own space to feel like at peace and, you know, home is your sanctuary.
Yeah. And you can't really settle in when it's not your own space, even as welcoming as other people are. It's just not the same.
It felt like we were staying in a hotel every night. You know, you don't get the best night of sleep at a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought a home in Encino. There's an amazing disaster loan program for people with the fire stuff. You can get 0% down payment.
Oh, wow.
As a real estate agent, I'm like, this is incredible. We got to take advantage of that. So
yes,
we bought a house like 4 months after the fire.
Okay.
And I've been renovating. We've been renovating this house.
Is that where you are right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It's been a fun distraction.
Yeah. And do you think you'll stay there? Or are you going to go back to the Palisades and rebuild there? Or like, what's the plan?
We're going to rebuild in the Palisades. It's weird now that the dust has settled a bit, for lack of a better term. I feel like I'm almost feeling it a little bit more because I'm numb. And it's weird. I have all these like symptoms that I'm like, is this from like the IVF hormones or the fire? Just like, trauma. I think like my short-term memory has gotten really bad. And I'm always tired. And then there's little things that I don't know if it's from IVF or trauma, but like, I feel like my hair has gotten really like dry and brittle. Mm-hmm. I have all these weird symptoms and I'm like, is this IVF or?
Right. Or a combination of all of it. You know, it's all stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you tell us where you are with treatment and stuff today?
Yes.
Yeah,
so we have 8 embryos, genetically normal embryos frozen.
Okay.
Us when we're ready, which I'm hoping will be soon that we can do a transfer. I'm just like, after the fire, my periods were regular until after the fire. It was so crazy. I had never experienced that, but it took like 7 weeks for me to get my period.
Wow.
Which I was like, oh my God, am I pregnant? I wasn't. But I feel like because I'm going through so much like healing from the fire, I would hate to do a transfer and it not work the first time and me kind of spiral because I'm already a little depressed.
Yeah, shaky, right? I mean, like mentally, yeah, that makes total sense.
So I'm waiting until I feel a little bit better, which is hard because people are like, so when are you going to do the transfer? And I'm like, people, again, don't understand like how it feels to lose everything. So it's like they're coming from a place of love. But like, even with IVF, you know, people ask these stupid questions that they don't know are stupid.
Can you share a little bit about you guys and like navigating this as a couple and if it has affected your relationship? Because also on the flip side, I've heard other people say it brought us closer together and that's wonderful, but that was not the case for me.
I think the hardest part for us was the year leading up to starting IVF and the trying and like me being a psycho about timing things. Like that put a huge strain on our relationship because I was like angry at him because I'm like, why don't you care as much as me? Like, I'm trying to make this happen. Just like, do it when I want to do it.
Right.
And I realized that I was like, that was wrong of me to treat him that way because it takes like the masculinity out of it for him. Like, I was being so dominant and crazy about it when that's not how it should be. You know?
I get it. Yes. Yes.
But we like, kind of didn't understand each other. But then through the IVF, I do think it brought us closer because he did hate to see me in so much pain. And he was like, I wish I could be the one to be doing all this.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, we had a long conversation about that. And it was just sweet to see him hurt for me.
Yeah.
I haven't been to any baby showers since going through IVF, which is probably, there's only been one time where it's felt like a bit of a gut punch where he told me, oh my God, I'm getting emotional that a family friend was pregnant. And obviously I'm so happy for her, but like, almost like my mom was so excited to tell me. And I was like, hold on a second. Like, whoa. You're telling me so excited and I'm going through hell. Like,
yeah,
people aren't sensitive when you wish they were, you know?
Totally. Yeah. And it's also like, I feel like it's a bit of a mind fuck too, when you're like, I am so happy for that person, but I'm so sad for myself. And like those things can coexist. It's hard to like wrap your head around that. You know, both things can be true.
That's such a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, give yourself the grace of like, you are navigating such a hard time and it's hard emotionally and it's hard physically. And, you know, you've been through so much with, you know, not only the fertility stuff, but the fire and just being so resilient. Okay. So at this point, you're not sure, like you've got these embryos, they're on ice. When the time is right, you guys are going to move forward. Is that kind of the plan right now?
Yeah. I'm hoping it's this year. I think I feel myself being ready soon. And my husband's turning 40 and I feel like that's huge for him. So I'm like, wouldn't that be great if I was pregnant when he's 40? But I've learned, do not have expectations because I'm good with IVF. So
for people who are listening right now, who might be in the thick of it, is there anything that you've learned or picked up along the way that has helped you navigate all the fertility stuff that you want to share with anyone?
I think the most important thing I've learned is to share, to be open about it, because you never know who has also been through it. There's been so many times where I just open up to someone, whether it's someone like I know or I work with or like a random stranger, and they're like, oh my God, like, I don't talk about this a lot, but I did IVF too. And it's like just having those connections, it's, you need that. And it's so important. And I just say, don't be afraid to share as much as you want to share.
All right, my loves, thank you so much for listening. And thanks again to Katie. Check her out on Instagram and TikTok. Please check out Fertility Rally. If you're looking for a group, it's the worst club with the best members. We have members from all over the place going through all different sorts of things. You are more than welcome to join us. And if you want to check out a group, see if you like it, DM me at Fertility Rally or at Infertile AF Stories on Instagram. And again, let's keep normalizing the conversation around family building in so many different ways. You can check out my books, Work of Art, and Beautiful Bird at my website, which is infertileafgroup.com. Makes a great gift, makes a great donation to a library or school, or just a copy for yourself and your family. And I don't know if I told you guys this yet, but book number 3 is about to go to the printer. So I'll tell you more about that soon. Stay tuned. Follow my Insta at InfertileAFStories. And if you like this podcast, please spread the word, share it with your loved ones, share it with your coworkers, share it with your neighbors. The more people we can reach, the better. Let's keep sharing these stories. And thank you guys so, so much for listening. Love y'all.